Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, it's great to have you with us today. I am Paul Boynton, and you are listening to Begin With Yes on Empower Radio. Begin With Yes is about that wonderful space where the law of attraction and the law of action join forces to empower us to make good things happen in our lives starting right now. If you're with us live, we welcome your calls and emails. The number to call is 248-809-3474. Or you can email us at beginwithyes@comcast.net. And joining forces with us right now is author Jacob Norby. Jacob believes that people living right now have more potential than ever before, and he loves helping people discover that potential and their power and their passion. I know you'll love Jacob's kind and warm energy and be encouraged and motivated in life-changing ways. So let's get to it. Welcome, Jacob.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's great. You and I have been Facebook pals for a while, but this is the first time we've actually talked in person, and it feels great. How are things in Texas?
Well, Austin, Texas is a special place, and it's wonderful right now. It's warm fall weather. I don't want to rub it in because I know you're experiencing snow up there, for God's sake.
I know. We actually got over a foot of snow in New Hampshire this weekend, and so we've all been digging out our winter coats and shovels and just plain digging out. So I'm ready for a little bit of Jacob Austin sunshine. It's great to have you here. Jacob, I love your optimism, and I've been following you on Facebook and been reading your blog, and you're optimistic about our individual and collective potential. And I know in the intro, I said, you think people who are alive today have more potential than ever before. Why do you think that?
Well, it's a great question, Paul. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been on a 2 or 3 year real intense journey, Paul, where I came through a period where I shut down a business, kind of downsized myself, and had to reimagine what I was up to in this world. And frankly, there was a period of time where optimism was kind of hard for me to find. It was kind of scarce. And so I used the last couple of years to really go into a big study on myself and on human beings and the humanity as a whole. I read a lot of books by, you know, Eric Fromm and Maslow and various ones to really kind of try to get a handle on what is going on right now. Because, frankly, there was some patches in there, Paul, where I really wasn't sure, you know, if maybe the best years for humanity were kind of behind it. And I was feeling a little bit downtrodden, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been surprised to have a re-emergence of optimism right now, and I'm actually quite excited to report this.
And I mean, are you sensing that in the people that are in your life and the people that are around you, and sensing that within yourself too?
Definitely sensing within myself, and I think that those who become the people I'm sensing it from, Paul, are the ones who have grasped the notion that the greatest gift we can give the planet is to wake up. Is to awaken, and what I say, awaken and walk in love. In other words, go through the process, the inner journey, finding out who we really are. Those are the people I see with a lot of optimism right now, regardless of external circumstances. Other people who are still, you know, really relying upon government or business or whatever out there to maintain a safe framework, sort of this basket. They've always been safe in. If they're relying on the external factors, many, many people are not feeling optimistic. In fact, there's quite a bit of fear.
You know, Jacob, you talk about this journey that you've been on, and I think somewhere I read that you referred to it as a steep uphill climb of self-discovery. Have you always been, as you sort of look back on your life, have you always been intrigued by this process of self-discovery, or is this something that you're sort of growing into now?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, you know, it's funny, Paul. The answer is yes. I definitely was always intrigued. As a child, I was in a my parents had been 1960s radical hippies right in the middle of Haight-Ashbury and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then when I was born, they moved me to Idaho and they took a hard right turn into fundamentalist Christianity. So I spent my entire growing up years, all those formative years and young adult years, in a really restrictive environment. So there was a time there I wasn't really, because of the environment I was in, Paul, I wasn't really allowed to poke outside very much, but I always knew, I always knew there was this journey to take, and so I'd poke around and sneak around and try to find out what I could, and the last 5 or 6, 10 years have been more conscious, where I've given myself permission to go there, yeah.
The business that you had to shut down, was that a business that you had established yourself, or were you part of corporate America, or can you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I spent some time in corporate America, Paul. I worked for Coca-Cola and different ones, and then eventually got into the mortgage business, and I really loved it. You know, for a long time there, I was helping first-time buyers and doing good work, and I eventually moved back to Boise and started a business with my family. And so I actually started it from ground up, and it was a very exciting period of time, and that made it probably exceptionally painful to have to, you know, put it down at that time.
It seems like, Jacob, that you had a pretty successful and a pretty traditional, in many ways, life, and now you're sort of transitioning into a less traditional but maybe more meaningful one. Does that sound right?
Wow, that's a very insightful way to put it, Paul. Yeah, that's well said. And frankly, moving into this new area of life has been exciting, but also very challenging because it doesn't have some of the same predictable outsides. And I'm sure you, with the work you do, I'm sure you see this with people who are trying to move into something new. But for me, yeah, it has been really quite a new thing because there's not necessarily a curriculum that says this is what you do next.
Yeah. My experience, it sort of parallels that in that you can't be in new territory without it feeling like you're in new territory. So you can't have the comfortability of the familiar if you're stepping out into a new place. That's for sure. How has that impacted, your family? This sort of transition. It's a pretty big one for a family to adapt to, I would think.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, my wife and I have 3 children, and my wife and I have been together for a long time, and we looked at each other after about a year, after the business thing went down, and finally said, you know, we need some space and time to sort of rethink what's going on. So we moved here to Austin, and we moved. I mean, we really dramatically downsized our lifestyle, and went from a 3,000 square foot house to a 1,200 square foot house or whatever it was, and just did everything we could to simplify, bring the cost of survival way down, and that gave us, because of that, it gave us the space to sort of create this margin of discovery where we just didn't have it before. But there have been plenty of challenging days, Paul, when a family is used to a certain kind of a lifestyle and you shift gears dramatically. Yeah, it can feel pretty pretty jagged sometimes.
Do you feel, Jacob, that I'm sort of imagining some sort of a leap into the unknown? Do you feel like you boldly leaped, or you were pushed a little bit, or a combination of both of those things? Or in some ways, listening to you speak, it sounds like you were sort of on that edge before you even knew it, and then reality sort of gave you a little bit of incentive to take a leap that you were poised to take anyways.
Yeah, you must do a lot of this work. That was an intuitive way to say it, Paul. All of the above, but from my perspective, as I've, been able to look back at this process, Paul, I have come to believe or come to experience that life gives us doorways, gives us opportunities. And I really deeply believe that our purpose there is a deep knowing inner purpose that says, this is what wants to come through your life, my life. And if we find a way to ignore that for a long time, life is going to give us, keep bringing us back these opportunities, sort of like a crack in the armor, to see out and say, oh, that's right, I'm off track here. I can find my purpose, my North Star again. Mm-hmm. And so you're absolutely right. That, for me, it wasn't something I would have chosen. I would have certainly rather have, you know, had a tidy, nice way of transitioning. I think many people can, and if possible, they should. But in my case, yeah, it was a matter of there was a definite call that I had not been paying attention to for quite a while, and it finally just found a way to find me, you know?
I do know what you're talking about. Is this sort of continues to unfold? Do you have a sense for where this is bringing you? I know that you're doing a lot of writing, and I've read some of your blogs, which I want to talk about in a bit, because they're so touching, I guess is the first word that comes to mind, but we'll get to that in a minute. But do you have a sense for how this is going to manifest itself, this work that you're doing right now?
Yeah, Paul, and I don't know that I would have been able to answer that 6 months or a year ago. I'm really thrilled, you know, to be on a show like yours where you talk about the law of attraction and action, how those things meet. And I feel like that's such a wonderful way to put how these things can unfold. The way things seem to be growing at the moment, without a big master plan. You got to remember, I know you're a CEO, Paul, so you're used to strategic planning and board meetings. And
yeah. I'm laughing because, and I don't interrupt your thought, but I'm laughing because someone, management consultant said, you know, yes, we have a strategic plan. It's called doing things, which always made me laugh, because I think we can spend so much time planning, and at some point that becomes an excuse for not doing anything. But have I totally derailed you now with where you were?
Oh, not at all. No, I'm thrilled. I know we have limited time, so I'm talking a bit fast, but I'm just thrilled we can have this. Well, and, you know, that's it, though. I mean, I was so used to, in fact, probably addicted to the planning thing. You know, I had, you know, like you, I hired consultants and business planners and, you know, all sorts of people to help me put these really beautiful, intricate plans together. And so when I came down here, Paul, and was just willing, just surrendered to purpose, to spirit, to love, whatever you want to call it, coming out in life, I had no idea what might come out. And as it began, I started to write a book, and I finished that first book, and it's in an edit process now, so that should come out here in pretty soon. But even then, not sure what was next. And what I see right now is a place where I can sit with people who are hungry, desperate even, to regain that juice and that purpose and that sense of I'm here for a reason in their lives. Help them find that. And there isn't a nice package you can just hand them and say, here, this is going to take care of everything. And oh, by the way, you're going to automatically, you know, grab onto the train and immediately be making a great full-time income with your purpose and passion. But no, I can at least sit with them and help them create space around themselves to listen to that voice, you know?
I do know. I'm going to ask you a really tough question, and I'm not sure that if someone asked me, I could answer. So don't really feel any stress around the question. But you've been sharing a little bit about some of the stuff that you've been learning along the way. But what do you think you're on the cusp of learning about Jacob? Is there anything that comes to mind that's so fresh and so just unfolding even as we speak now that pops into your head?
Yes, actually, absolutely, Paul. I do a lot of journaling these days. I learned to do that, and it's been so helpful. And so I get to ask myself these questions and these really honest, you know, the honest stuff, the stuff that maybe, you know, on a radio show or on Facebook, we might not want to talk about a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But I get to ask myself, okay, so really, get real here. And I'm talking to myself. Let's get real. What's the next thing here for you? And Paul, for me, it feels like, one of the big challenges in my life going forward now is to balance this beingness, this surrendered, peaceful, happy, this joyful place, with the doingness. I used to be sort of addicted to the doingness, mm-hmm. and then when I was able to move away from that, I got some space in life to just be for a while, and now these new things are coming out, and there's a bit of fear sometimes there. It's like, I don't want to move back into that frenetic, harried, frustrated person, but I know that stepping into full purpose in life does involve doing. And so right now I think it's a matter of learning how to take that next step really fully into a whole new way and find that good balance, you know?
Thank you for sharing that. And I have a sense for what you're talking about in your blog, which is called The Rowdy Creator. Is that correct? If people that are going to be looking for it, can they Google Rowdy Creator and find you?
Yeah, you know, that's your work.
Okay. All right. Your writing is so, it seems so heartfelt and honest, and I'm wondering, how easy is it for you to write that honestly?
Paul, it feels like the things I write that seem to connect with people end up being edited very lightly, and so the times I'm trying to write something special or profound, they tend not to come out very well. But times when I sit down and there's just something burning inside and it comes out and I'm just willing to, but the question you asked was, how easy is it to write honestly? And I think for me, the times when I can get little Jacob out of the way, the fearful, how is this going to sound to people? How is this going to look? Am I protecting my reputation kind of question? That's the Jacob who's going to stand in the way of some really important honesty happening. And so it's a process of learning, but I've learned as much as possible just to say hello and everything's going to be okay to little Jacob, and let the higher self just try to express there, you know?
Do you think that there are, I think that there are some risks, some of them imagined risks and some of them perhaps real, but what's your sense of the risks that come with being that open or that honest?
What do you think, Paul? What are some of the major risks you've seen happen out there?
I think, you know, I guess I would just speak for myself personally. I think the more you share yourself as you really are, the greater risk you have of rejection. Because if you're not showing up as who you really are, then the rejection doesn't feel the same because they're not rejecting the real you. So to me, there's something raw about putting yourself really out, coming out of the closet, so to speak, and saying, this is who I am. This is Paul.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's more imagined or more real, but either way, there's a feeling that comes with the risk for me. And I just wondered.
Well, I mean, Paul, you know, I think you're right. And you know what else I think? And I have a hunch in our conversation here, in my contact with you on Facebook and other places, I have a hunch you have more experience with that than most. Is that true?
I would say perhaps, yes.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one of the deep works we're doing right now. Those who are willing to do this and realize that who we really are, Paul, who we really are is indestructible, and it's the false self which is afraid of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, you know, Wayne Dyer says, I'm not in control of my reputation. I don't control it. My reputation is in the hands of the perceptions of all the people who look at the outside of me. My job is to be as authentic and as full of love and all of that as possible, but be absolutely real. And I think that's one thing, Paul, my hunch is, and I'd love to hear your perspective, because I know you work with a lot of people. My intuition is that's one of the deep hungers of humans right now, and especially in a place like America, which is such a beautiful place, but also encourages people to uphold an external self, which is, in many cases, no longer really useful in their lives, you know?
Yeah, I think the more people that we have around us who are venturing into that, even moments of realness with each other, the more comfortable it gets. It's sort of a permission to each other. We sort of gradually give each other permission. You and I are giving each other permission as we speak now to show up as we really are. And I think the more of that that happens, the more of that that will happen.
Right. When you can show people, that's funny you say that. That's right. And when we show people by example that it's safe out here, it's safe out here. You don't necessarily, you know, and I've learned, Paul, not to try to drag people out of their comfort zones, but those who come to the edge of their comfort zone and they see me out there, this ecstatic dancer who doesn't seem to care about the fact he doesn't have his shoes on and he's got a ragged shirt or, you know, whatever metaphorically there.
Mm-hmm.
He looks out there and says, "You seem to be enjoying yourself. How is it possible? You're such a mess." But when we're willing to surrender all of that need for a certain reputation or whatever, I think as you say, that does, it opens, it's like handing somebody a key for their own prison door. Maybe they'll venture out just a little bit.
And then they in turn hand the key back to you. And it's a cycle that just keeps moving in a very positive direction. I have just got an email from someone from New Orleans. His name is Michael. He said, "You make it sound easy, Jacob." He's living on unemployment. He's having a tough time finding a job. And yet he wants to take an adventure like you've done. But he can't. His words are, "I can't seem to find any wind in my sails." Do you have any suggestions for Michael?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I understand that better than you might imagine, Michael. And thanks for sharing that. When I moved here to Austin, had to take advantage of all sorts of different ways of keeping food on the table for my family, and eventually had to find a couple of three different part-time jobs. And it sometimes is challenging to find room for that adventure in the middle of all that. But I encourage you now that you're in this space of, you're already on the adventure, Michael. You're already there. And if you're willing to continue to allow purpose to come through, I won't promise you it's easy, but I know it's worth it. I know for sure.
Hey, Michael, thank you for that great question. And Jacob, thank you for sharing so much of yourself in answering that question and for being with us today. The problem with such a fascinating conversation is the time goes so quickly and we are out of time. So I'm going to promise you, Jacob, and promise all of you listening that we'll get Jacob back for a continuation of this conversation very, very soon. So it's time to wrap things up. Before I go, I want to give a shout out to all my friends who visit the Begin With Yes Facebook page every day. You rock. Thanks to Brent and Chris and all the good people at Empower Radio, and a special thanks to Jacob Norby for being with us. It's been incredible speaking with you, and I know we'll talk again real soon. And thank you for listening. I'll be right here waiting for you next week. Have a great rest of your day.
How do you wake up the entire African-American community to the hidden issue of mental health problems? Share your story.
4 years ago, I went through something that was very difficult for me. I was faced with a very big challenge at a young age. I didn't want to tell my parents. I really didn't want to tell anybody, and I didn't. I shut down. And that's not a burden that any young person should have to carry at all. Once I reached out to my sister, it got a little better. Once I told my mother, it got a little better. The more I talked about it, I felt it coming off. If you're strong enough to just open your mouth, that's all it takes.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. Together we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council.